God bless you. Thank you so much. I hope you get your Bible out. We've got a special treat tonight. Danny and Zach have been with us for almost 3 months. I can't believe it, but this is their last week, full week with us. Zach will be leaving Tuesday night after next week's service, and Danny will be leaving the following morning. I thought it'd be appropriate for the church to hear them preach, and so I've asked them both to take about 20 minutes tonight, and you're going to hear these young men. We joke around with them and all that kind of stuff. The staff's going to miss them, but I'm not. And I'm just kidding with you on that. I'm going to miss these young men. And God has used them while they've been here. And I appreciate your service. I mean that. I love you guys. Stay in touch with me, and we'll help you as much as we can. And I've asked these young men to come and preach. And Danny's going to come first. Danny, we love you most of the time. And I want you to come. Make yourself at home. You pray for him now, okay, as he comes to preach. God bless you. Make sure you turn that on.
Yes, sir. All right, I'm on. Good. Hello. Hello. All right. Well, I'm excited to preach. I studied all day till I couldn't study anymore, and then I went to the gym and worked out and came back, and I'm just ready to preach. You know, you just study and you pray, and then you study and you pray, and then there comes that moment where you just preach and you see what the Lord does, and that's what I'm going to do. I hope, I'm glad you're here. I got up this morning and I had to go over to Johnson City at like 7:30, which isn't early because some of you get up at like 2, but that's early for me. And so I was going over and I went outside and it was frost on my car, like everywhere. And I had to get my ID out and scrape the frost off. I didn't know what I was doing because I'm from Florida. We don't have that. And then I got in my car and the little dial said 28 degrees. And I thought, man, I'm going to miss this place, but I'm glad I'm going back home to Florida in just a little bit. But it was cold today and the interns are preaching and you still came to church. God bless you. Just kidding around a little bit. But we come to church for the Lord Jesus Christ and we're going to see what the Bible says. God gave me a thought and the title of the message is Busy or Blessed. And we're gonna think about that tonight. Open up your Bibles with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I'm just going to read 5 verses and preach my heart out for 20 minutes and see what the Lord does. Busy or blessed this holiday season. That's the title of the message. Luke chapter 10, the Bible says in verses 38 through 42 this. Now it came to pass as they went, they being Jesus and his disciples, that he entered into a certain village, being Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, Jesus wants you to sit at his feet and hear his word this holiday season. There's a lot of things going on, and I've been to the mall a time or two around here, and there's always things being sold and always new things coming out. If you like gizmos and gadgets, you know electronics is always changing. And in the midst of a holiday, Thanksgiving, Christmas season approaching us, no doubt many Americans will be busy, but few Christians will be blessed. And those that are blessed will be those that have sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So I ask you, tonight, before I even try to preach, do you want to be busy or do you want to be blessed? Let's take a close look at the lives of these two women, Mary and Martha, sisters. How many of you have a sister? I have an older sister. I said, hey, Karen, I'm preaching tonight. You going to watch it? She said, no. I said, come on, are you serious? I gave her a hard time. She's got two little boys and is busy. But there's two sisters, and we're going to study them closely, Mary and Martha, and see some lessons that we can learn from them. First, we're going to look at Mary. Point number one, if you're taking notes, Mary as she listened. That's point number one. Mary as she listened. First, notice that she sat at Jesus' feet. In verse 39, the Bible says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. In Bible times, sitting at someone's feet was the posture of disciples and learners. Those that sat at another's feet placed themselves in a position of learning. See, it was a humble position and it was a low position. You place yourself lower than the person teaching you. Paul the Apostle did this in Acts 22:3, where the Bible says, Paul speaking, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel, a very wise man, the teacher of Paul. And Paul saying here, I place myself at his feet. And the Bible says, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and we see Mary sitting here at the feet of Jesus. And Matthew Henry comments and says, sitting at Jesus' feet signifies a readiness to hear his word and also a submission to the guidance of it. And you see, we don't come to church to hear our favorite preacher or to get a free donut like you did when I was 9 once. I went to church to get a free donut because I thought it was good. We come to church to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that no matter what age you are, what hobbies you have, what gender you are, or where you're at in life, whether you've made some mistakes or you're doing well and successful, that we can come to church and hear Jesus' word. That's what it's all about. You can come to Jesus no matter how you are. We see a lot of people coming to Christ, some sick, some paralyzed, some halted, some blind, some deaf, but many, many, many have come to Jesus' feet. And I'm so glad that you decided to come to the house of God tonight. Isn't it funny how the devil always fights you when you're trying to get to the house of God? Whether your car breaks down or you happen to get in a fight with a family member or you just get extremely discouraged before you leave the house, you made a good choice to be in the house of God tonight, because here you can sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. The best way to have a meaningful conversation with someone is to stop and sit down and talk with them. Pastor Jody, if you could stand up. I've been thinking about this all day. I wanted to show the church what this looks like. Let's say 3 months ago when I got here, I pulled up in my Volkswagen Passat station wagon. That's a cool car. I don't care what you say. And I get out of my car and Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, my second church intern. Here we go. I get out of my car and there's Pastor Jody. And I'm so smart. I just know he's the pastor. And how do you think this would go if this was my first interaction with him? Pastor Jody, hey, I'm Danny Winkleplek, your intern. How you doing? Hey, come on, walk with me. I'm going to go Subway. I haven't eaten yet. How you doing?
I'm not walking
with you. He's not going to walk with me. A good way, thank you, Pastor Jody, a good way to have a conversation with someone is to stop whatever you are doing. And you know, not everything we do is bad. Sometimes it is. That's a different message. Not everything we do is great. But if we want to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ, we got to stop. I love my mom. I hope she's watching. Love you, Mom. One thing she does is she likes to work out and just go crazy. She is one hardworking lady. And every so often, I'll have to look at her and I'll say, Mom. And she'll like look at me, like get out of her little zone and look at me and be like, what? And I'll be like, take a deep breath. And she'll be like, oh. And maybe some of you are like that. And we get so busy and we got so caught up and we just need to stop. And we need to stop everything we're doing. And we need to park it right at Jesus' feet and listen to what he has to say. Nobody would ever appreciate a conversation that went like that, especially if it was the pastor as an intern. But how much more should we respect Jesus Christ when we open our Bible to have our devotions in the morning and our mind is on the 100 things we have to do, and just like maybe not physically, but in our heart, that's what we're doing. Hey, what's up, Lord? Okay, come with me. No, 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 stop and sit at Jesus' feet like Mary did. She not only sat at his feet, though, she heard his word, which also sat at Jesus' feet, verse 39, and heard his word. After Mary placed herself in the position of Christ's feet, in the position of a student, in the position of one that can learn, she not only sat there, but she heard his word. And it's so useless to come to church and tune out and not hear the preaching of God's word. It's so useless to have your devotions just to flip a page and check a chapter. It's so useless to come to Jesus and not truly hear his word. The Bible is not just a book. It is the book. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, what is right, for reproof, what is wrong, and for correction, how to get right, for instruction in righteousness and how to keep it right, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. Hey, you can't figure out life? Ain't got a clue what's going on? Sit at Jesus' feet. Okay, I know it's not just the ladies. Men struggle with this too, but ladies, how many of you be honest with me and you say, sometimes I don't even know why I feel the way I feel. Honestly. And men as well. No one's honest. My hands go up, okay? I'll break the ice. I feel that way sometimes. Why am I so upset? Why am I so angry? Why am I so sad? I don't know. And then I read the Bible and God shows me all my problems and I get right with the Lord, okay? That happens in the Christian life. Don't be so shocked. We're not perfect, okay? And we need to come to Jesus Christ, and we not only sit at his feet, but we hear his word. And in the morning when you open up your devotions, and I pray that you have a devotional walk with Christ, not just a checkbox, not just a journal. I keep a journal, but not just for a journal's sake, but something that will help you stay accountable to reading the word of God. Because if you will choose to read the Bible, all the problems in your life will kind of just simmer down. A lot of the problems in your life, a lot of problems in your marriages, a lot of problem in your relationships, a lot of problems between your children wouldn't be so bad if you'd open the Holy Bible and get some heavenly counsel. You say, you're not married. How do you know that? I'm dating. I'm engaged. Half the time I'm the problem and the Lord gets me in the word and I'm so thankful for that. Hey, I'm thankful for that. Aren't you thankful that God would be willing to show you how bad you've messed up and give you the grace to be humble enough to say, I'm sorry. Ever been there? Yeah, it's okay. We all have. I'm not surprised. Sit at Jesus' feet. Hear Jesus' word. It's wonderful. David said in Psalm 119, I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Everything a man wants is respect. Want to be respected by your wife. Want to be respected by your friends. You want respect. But David said, as a man, I will respect your word. I never forget one day we were in the gym and I threw Zach my Bible. It was in a case. But it was on the gym, and I was like in Superman mode, and I was going to my door, and I turned around, and I was like, Zach! And it just slid so perfectly. It was such a good shot right to his feet, and he picked it up, and he goes, and I was like, what? And he rebuked me, and I appreciated it. He was trying to help me respect God's word. And when Jesus Christ gave us the Bible through his Holy Spirit, it is given to us not only to love and read and obey, but to respect. And when Mary humbled herself and came to Jesus' feet and sat there and heard his word, how she showed such great respect for the Bible. Do you respect God's word, teenager? Do you respect God's word, adult? I mean, we all could respect it more. I'm smiling because I think, man, there I go, sliding across the floor. I need to respect God's word more. We all need to respect the word of God. Have a daily time with the Lord Jesus Christ where you not only go to his feet, but you hear his word. Hear what he's saying to you. Don't waste your time flipping through the Bible doing devotions. I stopped saying I'm going to go do my devotions. I started saying, and it's a little thing, but it matters to me. I said I'm going to have my devotions. Because I don't say I'm going to go do time with Ashley. Sounds like prison. I'm going to go do time with Ashley. Ugh. I say I'm going to go spend some time with Ashley. I'm going to go have time. I'm going to go have a date. And I don't do devotions. I have devotions. Because it's Jesus and me. That's good. That's good. That's the Bible. That ain't me. I'm just saying that's good. I don't, you know, whatever. Mary! She listened, and then the second character I want to look at is this, Martha as she labored. So Mary, as she listened, and I can just picture Mary, probably sitting Indian Lake style or whatever, just sitting there, you know, listening to the Lord. And then I picture Martha, and this kind of cracks me up because, man, I don't know why, I can just picture this, a frantic, hyper lady trying to get the house ready, trying to clean everything up. I don't know if she was cooking. I'm sure Jesus got hungry just like we do. Just frantically running around the house and getting things done. Now, I appreciate My mom, I appreciate my sister, my fiance, and everything ladies do. I burnt a pot pie the other night. I tried to cook a pot pie for 30 minutes and I burnt it. I tried to make a second one last night and I had to throw it away. I appreciate what women do in cooking and cleaning, okay? Because I'm pretty helpless when it comes to that kind of stuff. But can't you just picture a busy woman trying to just, you know, get everything ready for the Lord? And she wasn't, I don't picture her to be completely wicked. It's not like she was like, the Lord's here, I invited him in very hospitably, but I don't like him. So I'm gonna go over there and clean. She was just trying to get things ready for the Lord. And a wonderful application, and what the Lord kind of put in my heart for you guys tonight is that here's Thanksgiving and Christmas time, and all the little grandkids are coming over, and you know, you're cooking the turkey for 8 days, and you're making your mashed potatoes, and then Christmas is coming, and in between that, you've got Black Friday, and you know, the men are going to do their shopping the week before, and the women, they're like pre-planning. They've got all their gifts already. Now they just need to wrap them, and it's such a busy time of the year, the holiday season. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Thanks, Zach. So this is kind of the same picture that we see here. Here's Martha, totally busy, totally doing. And then there's Mary, totally being with God. So we've got Martha doing stuff for God and Mary being with God. Martha, as she labored, point number one under that is she was cumbered with service. The word cumbered means a troublesome or useless weight, obstructed or hindered. She was obstructed and hindered with service. What was she obstructed from? What was she hindered from? The very person of Jesus Christ. And if you attempt to do anything for the Lord, I'm talking any good thing, soul winning, reading the Bible with your kids, devotion, if you attempt to do anything for God, without hearing him, being with him, enjoying him, and enjoying that sweet fellowship, you'll be cumbered. That's a funny word, cumbered with much service. Martha was so occupied with her service for Christ, she missed what he was teaching. And that is why, again, you made a great decision to come to church tonight, because you're saying, although there's much to be done that is around this time of year, I still want to come to church and hear what God has to say to me. She was cumbered with service, but also she was careful and stressed. The Bible says in verse 41, Jesus is like, Martha. And I think he said it lovingly, because the Lord's a gentleman. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And he says, you're full of care and you're so worried about many, many things. You ever feel that way? Kind of worried, like Pastor was mentioning? Kind of troubled? Maybe it's our nation, and rightfully so. Maybe it's your job or finances, your marriage, your dating, or your health. Whatever the many, many troubles are, the answer in verse 42 is right in front of you that will help you tonight. Read this with me if you could in verse 42. Read the first 5 words with me. Ready? But one thing is needful. Could you read that again? But one thing is needful. Hey, there's a lot going on. You're worried about this and you're worried about that. You're troubled about this, and rightfully so. These are real life issues. But let me tell you, hear Jesus Christ tonight saying, don't be worried about many things because one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. And what was that good part? That good part was simply sitting at Jesus Christ's feet and hearing his word and getting her soul ministered to. Because you can do a lot and your hands can be calloused, but if your heart's not ministered to, if your soul isn't happy in Jesus Christ, you are miserable. You can have a lot of things. You can have a lot of stuff. You can have a lot of friends. You could have 10,000 friends on Facebook and your Twitter account blowing up. But if you do not have Jesus Christ and if you do not hear him, your soul is miserable. Ever been there? Oh yeah. Stay at Jesus' feet. Don't be like Martha. She was so cumbered with her service and she was so careful and stressed. One woman said this, I have a lot of troubles, most of which never happen. Another person said that worry pulls tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine. Don't live a life full of care, worry, and stress. Take it to the Lord and sit at his feet for a while. I know as adults with children and grandchildren, you always feel this constant pressure of responsibility. But do not forget, Christian, that God will forever call you his child of God. And it doesn't matter how many businesses you own or what great things you've done. He'll always see you as a child in his presence. And as a child, you can act like a child. You can bring your needs and pour out your complaint and talk to God honestly and openly. For several years, a woman had trouble going to bed because she feared burglars. One night, her husband heard a noise in the basement, so he went downstairs to check it out. When he got there, the window was open, and there stood a burglar. He looked at the man and said, "Good evening. Come upstairs and meet my wife. She's been waiting 10 years to meet you." And that's what a little like worry is. Just kind of consumes all our strength. Kind of just saps all of our energy. The Bible says, Jesus speaking in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." There's that word, learn. And as a student at Jesus' feet, we're to learn. And he says, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Hey, how about some rest? That sounds good. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You ever seen someone wearing that something that they shouldn't? Kind of see that a lot in California. It just is weird. People wear things, it's just awkward, inconvenient, just unnatural, totally weird. And not that extreme, but God must feel that way when he sees us walking around with our own yoke. "My child, what are you doing? Give that to me. I've got my own yoke for you, and it's way lighter, and it's easy, and it's got rest attached to it. But you're going around crazy down there on earth, my footstool, not acknowledging me, not letting me take care of you. This is ridiculous. Will you sit at his feet? Will you hear his word? Are you going to be like a Mary or a Martha? It's up to you, but I think it'll go better this Christmas season and this Thanksgiving if before the rush and the meals and the planning and the preparation and all that's great, that's what makes it the holiday season. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to eat on Thanksgiving and Christmas. I can't wait to have a few presents and fellowship with my family. But none of that's going to matter and none of that's going to last unless I'd hear from God. Jesus said, and I'll be done, "One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." What does that mean? Was Mary better than Martha? Not at all. Both were true-hearted disciples. One just made a better choice. One chose a higher way of honoring the Lord, while the other chose a lower way of honoring the Lord. Neither was despised or would willingly neglect the other's occupation. Martha's choice to serve and prepare the house was temporal. It would get dirty next week. The dishes would be dirty again. While what Mary did was eternal, because the word of God will never return void. Be like a Mary this holiday season. Sit at his feet. If you're lacking in your devotion, start again tomorrow. The rest of your Christian life starts today. Have your time with the Lord. Sit at his feet. But don't just sit there with your mind racing. "Hey, come with me, Lord." That's funny to me. Sit at his feet and hear his word. Be a Mary and not a Martha.
Outstanding. Praise the Lord. Let's have the ushers come and we'll receive tonight's offering. How did the Lord speak to you through that message? Listen, God speaks through his word. And what's he saying to you through that? I'll tell you what really spoke to me is that the being with God comes before doing something for God. Listen, you're here tonight. You want to serve Jesus? You cannot serve him the way that he wants you to serve him unless you are with him first. God spoke to me. Did he speak to you? I appreciate that message. God bless you. That's great. That encourages my heart. These interns here have come to learn some about this ministry. I believe they're preachers. I praise the Lord for that. Outstanding. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we ask that you'll bless this offering. The gift and the giver, would you use it to further the gospel? Help us to distribute it according to your will and plan. Thank you for this message. Pray for the message to follow in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
329 in your hymnal, 329, we'll sing the first two verses, verse 1 and 2. Let's stand together. 329, take time to be holy, speak off with thy Lord.
Take time to be holy, speak off with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek.
And the second,
take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be.
Be seated.
Get your Bible back out. Our other preacher tonight is Zach. And I tell you, both of them have been a great blessing. I appreciate the church who've adopted them and taken them in. And we're going to miss these young men, but we're glad to pour our life out into them a little bit. And they've poured their life out into us, and we appreciate that. So Danny did a great job. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Zach, if you'll come, open the Word of God. We're praying for you tonight as well, okay?
Sir. All right, can you hear me? Great. Thank you. Well, we're going to be getting up on Sunday night and kind of giving our goodbyes, and so I'll almost save all the thank yous until then, but I just want to say it's a privilege to be behind this pulpit and a part of this church for the last few months. It's been amazing. If you could take your Bible, open up into Jeremiah chapter number 2. Jeremiah chapter number 2. Pastor told us we'd be speaking a few days ago, and he said he thought it'd be good for the church family to be hear us, but the primary reason was so that you as the people will be able to appreciate him as a preacher a little more after we're finished. I'm not sure what that means, but praise the Lord that we get to preach tonight, and what a privilege it is. You guys have been a huge blessing. This morning in devotions, Pastor mentioned to John, Mr. Mineta, that we'd be preaching. His immediate response without hesitation was, praise God for cadets. And so I just want to say thank you for the great cloud of encouragement coming up to the pulpit tonight. We'll be in Jeremiah chapter number 2. If you could stand for the reading of the scripture, I appreciate that. Jeremiah chapter number 2, we'll be reading in verse number 5. Jeremiah chapter number 2, verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Father, I thank you for this night tonight. Thank you again for allowing me and Danny to preach. Lord, I pray that you calm my nerves tonight. I pray that what you want to be spoken will be spoken, and ministered to all of our hearts as a result of it. Well, thank you for it. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Jeremiah chapter number 2 is a powerful passage to me, and the Lord spoke to me through it, and I hope that we can all learn from it tonight. Many of you know a little bit about my background. I grew up in Mariposa, California, not the California most people think of, and I graduated from high school in 2006. I began working at a fencing company, like barbed wire fencing, not the swords or anything like that, okay? I started working for this company. I worked there for a year and a half, and in that time I got saved And that's when I went off to Bible college. But my town was a real small town. It was a simple town. People just worked and people lived and everybody knew everybody. And it wasn't weird for someone to wave at you going down the road with all their fingers, if you know what I'm saying. Okay, just a good town, a small town, a nice town. And people kind of knew you by what you did. They knew you by who your dad was. It was just that kind of a town. And I went off to Bible college, and 3 years later, I came back and went to the Texaco, which used to be 76, and there was a fellow in there I worked with or graduated with. His name was Chris. And mind you, I've been gone for 3 years now, okay? And I was talking to him and asked him how he was doing, how was business, how was family, you know, just a normal conversation. And he assured me everything was going okay. And then he looked at me and he said, "How's ranch fence? How's fencing going?" Now, I've been gone for 3 years, okay? And he said, "How's fencing going?" And I was kind of taken back a little bit, kind of burst my bubble. I've been gone for 3 years. He didn't know about it. And I said, "Well, I actually don't work there anymore." He said, "Oh, okay, what happened?" I said, "Well, it's been 3 years, man. I've not been around." But apparently my life on him wasn't such an impact that when I was gone, it didn't really make a difference to him. My life wasn't an influence enough for him to even recognize when I was gone. And I'm afraid that for us tonight in our spiritual life, that such is the case that, as it was in the days of Jeremiah, that the presence of the Lord could be gone for any length of time, his influence and his guiding could be gone, and you and I would not even recognize it. And today I just want to preach a simple message entitled, "Do You Miss Me?" Do you miss me? I don't know whose water this is, but I'm going to drink it, okay? Do you miss me? The first thing I want to look at is an unbelievable substitution. An unbelievable substitution. At this point, the nation of Israel, if you read on through Jeremiah, was in serious spiritual desolation. I mean, the nation was a wreck. The Bible says that he turned his heritage into an abomination. They took in the promised land and transformed it into a wasteland. I mean, spiritually, Israel was in bad shape at this time. And the first thing I want to notice is they made an unbelievable substitution that twice in this passage, verse number 6, later on in verse number 8, the Bible specifically states that the people did not ask, "Where is the Lord?" Nobody asked where God was. Apparently, nobody missed him. And what a shock it is that the children of God could go throughout their lives without the presence of the Lord and things go on just like normal. Do you miss me? Apparently, no one wondered where he was. It seems that there wasn't much of a difference when God wasn't around. And God, I could see him looking back with a broken heart, wondering in his heart, "Do you miss me?" And the Bible says that the children of Israel walked after vanity, verse number 5, and walked after things that do not profit, verse number 8. And that the fact that they didn't know where the presence of the Lord was wasn't because they were not asking for something. It wasn't because they had a lack of seeking. It was because they were seeking the wrong things. They were chasing after vanity. They substituted the very desire to know God for a desire to chase things that didn't even matter. Things that had no eternal purpose, things that had no eternal value, and things that definitely had no eternal reward. And God is here to tell us tonight that if your life is marked by anything outside of the purposes and will of God in your life, then he would describe it as vain. They were chasing after things that didn't matter. They were chasing after things that had no purpose, that had no reason. They got to a point in their lives that they did not know that God was gone. Do you miss me? What an unbelievable substitution, a foolish substitution that you and I as the children of God, as the nation of Israel did in their lives, that we can get to a point in our life where the presence of God would be gone and we wouldn't know that he was gone. We would go throughout our lives just like normal. And so often we chase these things, we're consumed with these things, and if we're not careful, our lives, our very lives can be marked by vanity. And God wants to save us and keep us from this. Why is it? Because we stop seeking God, simply put. We stop seeking God in his presence and we start seeking everything else. Now, I know, Pastor, this is not doctrinal, it's not biblical, and I know that. I don't want to be labeled as a heretic right now, okay? I just want to give you an illustration. Let's suppose that as we all went to bed tonight, we're sleeping, our heads are on our pillow, let's suppose that the Holy Spirit would remove himself from our lives. I know it's not going to happen, but let's suppose that he did. We're sleeping, we wake up the next morning, we wake up tomorrow, and we wake up literally without the presence of God, without the Holy Spirit as guiding, His leading, His comforting, His teaching, all the things that go along with what the Holy Spirit does in our life. Let's suppose that the Holy Spirit would remove Himself from our lives. A terrifying question that must be answered tonight is this: would you even know that He was gone? If God were to remove Himself from your life tonight, tomorrow, would you realize it? Would anything change in our lives, or would we just go on just like we always have? We become pretty professional Christians. We become pretty good at doing the things that mark us as Christian, mark our Christian lives. And I want to know tonight that if God left your life, would it make a difference? Or would everything continue as it was? And the sad fact of the matter is this, that so many of us are so used to God not doing anything in our lives that it wouldn't be different if He was gone. We're so used to spiritual silence in our life that it wouldn't be weird if He didn't speak to us. We're so used to the Lord not working in our life simply because we're so used to chasing everything else. We have become convinced that this just must be the way that it is, that the state of America, the state of churches as a whole, and bless, praise God for this church, it's amazing. But the spiritual temperament of this country and the landscape of Christianity as a whole in this nation and in this world is not as God intended. Don't ever be satisfied with it. And what you're seeing today is a result of people that do not ask where God is. And their lives are given to everything else. Think of Samson. You know the story of Samson with Delilah, and he fell in love with that wonderfully godly woman, and they were laying there, and of course Delilah tried to get Samson to tell him where his power came from, and he told her something, it was a lie, and the Philistines, oh Samson, the Philistines be upon thee, and he woke up and shook himself and went out and destroyed him, and the next night she was upset, you lied to me, and so he told her something else, and he told her a lie, and she tried it, and it didn't work. And Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And he shook himself and destroyed him. And then the next night, now Delilah's real upset now and telling Samson, if you love me, you're going to tell me what the secret is. And of course, Samson breaks. And my old soccer coach used to say, stay away from women, they make your knees weak. And Samson just got weak, and he told her what the secret was. And she tried it. And she woke him up the third night and said, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And this is what the scripture says, very interesting, and it says of Samson, I will go out as other times before and shake myself, and he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. He woke up just like he did two nights in a row before and went out just like he did before, and he said, I'll just go out like I did the other two nights and shake myself, but he did not know that God has departed from him. He did everything exactly the same. One big problem, God wasn't with him. And you and I get to a point in our lives, and it's a scary thought that we can go throughout our Christian lives without Christ. And what an appropriate message Danny preached tonight. It's amazing the way the Lord works things out. You do things without Christ, it's not Christian, you see. And I want to know tonight that if the Holy Spirit would remove himself from our lives, would our prayer change? Would the way that we read scripture change? And I want to speak with a careful tongue with respect, but man, would the way that you lead your families change? Would the way that you raise your children change? Would your marriages change? Would your relationships with your parents change if God wasn't here? The question that must be answered. And Pastor, a very frightening thing tonight is this, that there are handfuls and handfuls of churches that are operating just fine without the Lord. May God never let it happen here. And then there are thousands of Christians that operate and maintain a Christian life without God. And God is calling us simply, do you miss me? And he wants us to get to a point when we realize that when he's not gone, we'll do everything we can to chase after him. And to answer the question, man, would anything change? We go to Sunday school and we go to church, and those are precious things. We know how to speak the Christian words. We know what to say, when to say it, what to wear, where to wear it, how to respond. We change more than a chameleon does around our workers, co-workers, and friends and family. We know how to do all the right things, but the big problem is that we do it without the Lord. Hence the state of America. So let me ask you a question tonight. Would it really matter if he was gone? Would you feel alone? Would you feel confused? Would you feel lost? Would anything feel different? Suppose the scripture was taken away from us. People have tried it in history. It's never going to work. God promised it's never going to work. Let's say it did. Off the iPhones, the iPads, the computers, all the copies. Siri's not going to help you on this one, okay? They're all gone. And you woke up tomorrow at a time where Danny would say you woke up tomorrow just like you should and getting with Jesus' feet, but this time you couldn't. I want to ask you today, would you look for your Bible as frantically as you look for your cell phone when it's lost, or as frantically as look when your keys or anything else in this life? Would it really matter if Scripture was gone? The very presence and words of God, the face of Jesus Christ contained in this Word, if it was gone, would it matter? Would your life change? Would you feel famished? Would you feel hungry? Would you feel alone? Or would you rely on the same scriptures you've been relying on for years and years? Do you miss me tonight? It all depends on how we seek the Lord. What have you exchanged the presence of God for in your life? It could be a number of things, and I'm not going to stand up here and try to mention them. You know what it is. This country is intoxicated with pleasure. And it's absolutely intoxicated with entertainment. Like Danny said, there's always going to be a new phone. There's always going to be new entertainment. There's always going to be a next video game. $400 million, I believe, on the first day of the new war game. The young people probably know what I'm talking about. Unbelievable. What is it that you've substituted his presence for in your life? A relationship? A dream you're still holding on to? A habit you don't think you can kick? What is it? The presence of the Lord substituted for absolutely nothing. First of all, an unbelievable substitution. Second of all, as we move on, I want to notice an undeniable declaration. An undeniable declaration. God goes on to declare to the children of Israel and to you and me the answer to the question he asked in verse number 5. Look there. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? Jump down to verse 13 for me. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Now, as I said, the nation of Israel is in just terrible condition at this point, and God no doubt could have went through the Ten Commandments and said guilty, 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 guilty. He could have listed a number of things that the children of Israel doing there, but he said, I want to narrow it all down to two things. Number one, you've forsaken me. So let's cut through all the dross. Let's cut through all the details. Let's cut through all the fog and the cloud and the excuses that we give so often. What's the point? You've forsaken God. The foundation of every sin in your life and every inconsistency in your life and everything that you do, you know God doesn't want you to do. What's the basis of it? You relied on yourself and not Him. It's very simple. And God says, me, the fountain of living waters, the source of all life, the very reason and cause of your existence, you've forsaken me and turned to yourselves. When is it that we can decide that we don't need Him anymore? What can we do without the Lord? Answered with only silence. Nothing. It was never about us. It never will be about us. The foundation of all the sin in our life is this, that we've forsaken God. We've chosen to follow ourselves and everything else that pleases our flesh outside of Him. An unbelievable substitution, an undeniable declaration. God just cuts through it all and tells us what the point is. And last of all, and quickly, and my favorite part, an unthinkable intervention. An unthinkable intervention. Verse number 9. Verse number 9. Beautiful. God says in the midst of all of this, wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children, where I plead, will I plead. In the midst of this desolation, in the midst of this wasteland that the nation of Israel have brought upon themselves, in the midst of all that, you know what God says? I'm still going to plead with you. Praise God for it. That it doesn't matter. And looking at my life, after all the failures and after all the disappointments and after all the inconsistencies and after all the times I've forsaken the Lord and know it, you know what amazes me? Is God is still wanting to use me. Amen. That ought to blow your mind. And God, in the midst of all of this, still cares. And He still seeks. And it doesn't matter if I'm not seeking Him, and it doesn't matter if I'm not pursuing Him. He's still going to seek, and He's still going to knock, and He's still going to convict. And by the way, it's always a sign of His love. He's still going to pursue you because He cares. And He's always going to plead with you, and He's never going to be finished. He's always going to be pursuing you as a child of God. But He never stops wondering at the same time whether or not we miss Him. What a comfort it is to know that God is always concerned with His children being right. No matter the situations that you came into this room tonight in, God's arms are open. They always are. His mercy's not going to run out. His grace is not running out anytime soon. As Paul said, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance is as sweet and true and just as the judgment of God is. Let me tell you something. When I know that I'm still a sinner and God loves me, that's convicting to me. And He says that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. And I want to thank God tonight that on the other side of repentance is still redemption for the lost. And on the other side of repentance is still restitution for His children. On the other side of repentance for America, praise God, and for His glory is still revival. But it's going to take you getting to the point you miss Him. Not walking out the doors exactly how you came in week after week after week. A sickness that plagues this country of you feeling like it's good enough. It's not. Nor is it in my life. He's never finished. God will never be done. His arms are not shortened. His arms are not crossed. His brow is never lifted up in pride. He begs you tonight. Do you miss me? And the answer is yours. If no, if you're not ready to make a change, go on. Nothing will change. Family won't change. Your relationships won't change. Being miserable in your Christian life won't change. Unfulfilled won't change. It's up to you. I can't do it for you. Pastor can't do it for you. Do you miss Him tonight? And God calls out, come home. And He'll always receive us as His children. I don't stand behind this pulpit tonight to condemn you. I don't have any authority to do that. But I'm here to tell you tonight that if you are in that position right now, that God is calling to you to come home. Do you miss me? Father, thank You for who You are. You're so good to us. I pray now that You be with Pastor, give him wisdom as he leads, as however he sees fit. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your love. I pray now that You would be with us, be with the rest of this night. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. What is God speaking to you about? The first message, it's about being with Him before doing something for Him. In the second message, the Lord spoke to my heart with this question. Is He pleading with me? Is He pleading with me? The fact of the matter is whether we realize it or not, we need God. So often we live as if we don't. Father, I pray that You'll take this thought, both of them. Help those who want to be found at the feet of Jesus Christ to come. Help those who miss You and Your presence to come. And may those that You're pleading with in this auditorium see Your grace and come. May the will of God be done, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If you're here and you need to be saved, if you're here and you want to be found at His feet, if you're here and you say, I just want to tell God I miss Him. Whatever it is, if you need Jesus, come, let us take a Bible, share the gospel with you. Come now, would you do that? As Brother Gary sings, come. If you want to talk to God,
Jesus is tenderly calling
thee home. Come to the altar. Talk to God.
Calling today.
Talk to the Lord.
Calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today, Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
If you're sitting there, you can look this way. I'm going to do something a little bit different to close the service tonight. Like the Lord laid this on my heart, I'd like Danny and Zach, if you wouldn't mind, just to come right down here in front of me and get on your knees. I'd like to ask our deacons and some other men in our church, you men, you deacons who are here, you men, some of you men here, if you feel led to come, if you're a man and you feel led to come, I'd like you to get out of your place and come and surround these two young men. We're going to pray over them, ask God to bless them. God's hand is upon their life. I believe that's evident, don't you? We're going to pray that God will keep them clean, keep them pure, keep them holy and living right. And pray that God will continue to pour His blessing out upon them. As they leave this place, may they never be the same. Never. Never. I could ask any one of these men to pray, but I'm going to ask Brother Butch Abbott, sir. What a faithful, faithful servant of Jesus Christ. In the country of France for over 30 years. And I'm going to ask if you wouldn't mind just to put one hand on one of them and the other hand on the other. This will be our closing prayer tonight. We're going to ask God to speak to them and use them in a mighty way. If you'll just slowly die out, and this is our closing prayer. All of us pray for these young men at this time. Will you please?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for having some young men like this in our church these past few months. And their future lays out ahead of them, and you know every step, every minute, and every second of that future.
Yes.
But we know you. We know, Father, that tonight as we come, we commit these young men into your hands.
Yes.
So they'll be safe.
Yes.
They'll be secure. They'll be well guided. They'll be well taken care of and blessed in the ministry and in their lives and their families and homes and where you put them to serve.
Yes.
We don't know your future that you have for them, but we know you, Father. We know you love them. We know you care about them.
Yes.
You care about their hearts and this future that we're looking forward to seeing as we hear from them in the days to come. So, Father, tonight we come with confidence, we come with peace and joy and being able to commit
Amen.
May we always look to you and follow the good words you've heard tonight. We do pray in that precious, holy, wonderful, gracious name of Jesus.
Amen. 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 I want you both to